This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's 3 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Sophie Bevan, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for projects featured on our show comes from the environmental stewardship fee, a $4 fee that all UK students pay, along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $190,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture and sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. This week, I'm joined by our faculty advisor, Shane Tedder. He's here to talk about an exciting opportunity called the Sustainability Challenge Grants. So Shane, thanks for being here again this week.
Hey, Sophie. It's great to be here. Your slip there at the beginning, thanks for turning into WRFL. Yeah. I was imagining like all these people out in radio land turning into
like
radio
swerving
stations.
In.
Yeah,
yep.
No, it's great. So, it's great to be back. This is a super exciting program, so I'm happy to be here to talk about
really
it.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn about it because even I like barely know much about it. So, could you just give a brief overview about what the Sustainability Challenge Grant is to start us off?
Yes. The Challenge Grant program provides $200,000 to faculty or staff-led teams. They have to be interdisciplinary teams. So interdisciplinary faculty or staff-led teams that are interested in taking on a sustainability-related challenge, and that can be really broad, here on campus or in our community or even broader. And so it is a funding opportunity designed to really get faculty and staff engaged in developing sustainability-focused solutions. And I'm sure we'll dive deeper, but
yeah.
that's the elevator speech. We have $200,000. We want to give it to you if you're a faculty or a staff member who's interested in leading an interdisciplinary team. And so if that perks up your ears, stay tuned in to the show today, and we're going to talk all about what this program is and how you can get a hold of some of that funding.
Yeah, so I guess to just dive right in. So how long has this fund been around, and how did it come to be?
I'll start with a boring answer.
Right.
This will be the fourth year. And then the fun answer, how did it come to be? It came to be because of a relatively disastrous failure at a campus outreach event. And so we had done for several years an event called Big Blue Goes Green, which was a showcase of different campus sustainability efforts meant to connect students, faculty, and staff to the good work happening on campus. And this particular afternoon, we were in the grand ballroom of the old student center. And so some of you folks out there will remember that area. And it was just crickets all day long.
Oh, that's sad.
And it really was. I mean, there were probably 25 to 40 people there who were exhibiting. And they mostly knew each other, and so it just lacked any energy.
Yeah.
And so we walked away from that, four or five of us. It's Courtney Fisk from the Center for Applied Energy Research, and Lee Meyer, and Rebecca McCauley from the Farmer Institute. And we're sitting around talking about it and just like, we don't want to do that again. It wasn't worth our time. It didn't do what we wanted. And so, you know, what would spark meaningful engagement for members of the campus community in a way that would have a really significant impact on the campus.
Yeah.
So that's what we wanted to do. We wanted meaningful things for them to engage in that would result in great outcomes.
Yeah, that's awesome that you all could like turn something around that didn't end up too great and turn it into this amazing opportunity for everyone to be able to like have access to.
Well, thanks for saying so.
Yeah.
It was, I think all of us, our collective thought process was, we don't want to go through that again. You know,
yeah,
it took a lot of work to organize that. And the showcases, there's a time and a place for those, and I think they're really important. But when we boiled it down to what do we want to do and what do we want the outcomes of that action to be, we were barking up the wrong tree. Yeah. And so the Challenge Grants was born out of that. And we started with like this Shark Tank idea. Shark Tank was, this is several years ago, so it doesn't have the same connotations it does now. But we, you know, this idea of people bringing sustainability ideas onto a stage and pitching them and then, you know, kind of getting the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
That's literally exactly like the show. Nice.
Yeah. So we started with that and said, well, we probably need to give people more heads up and it needs to be more rigorous. And so, but we started from that concept of, we know that the intellectual capital is on campus, that the ideas, the solutions, the way to engage students, the way to use campus as a living lab, like, people on campus, our faculty, staff, and students have all that in their heads. How do we pull it together and pull it out and, and do that in a way that's worthwhile, that makes it worthwhile in terms of the time that it's going to take for them to invest? And so the structure of a call for proposals and the way we review and the way we prioritize all came together in the fall of 2014. And that's when we put out our first call. And that December, we had $100,000. And I guess we'll talk about where the money comes from in a minute. But
yeah,
so the first year we had $100,000 and we awarded seven teams. We split that money up between seven teams. We got about 25 applications and ended up funding seven of them and saw some really pretty transformative projects come out of that first year that are still rolling on campus, which is exciting.
And that's impressive too, that only in the first year of implementing this, you had 25 applications, because typically, I feel like in the first year, things don't have that high of a turnout, but that's like cool that people on this campus are really invested in it.
I was excited about it. It made the selection process truly competitive, and I think it led to us having a high-quality set of projects to fund in that first year. And, you know, it really hats off to the folks involved in that first year, because success and the potential successes of their program led to us being able to double the funding for the following year and keep that going now into year four. So
yeah, that's awesome. So earlier you kind of threw out a few names about people that were involved in making it. So could you just like talk a bit about who the partners are in this and maybe about what each do if you feel like talking about that, but mostly just like who are all the partners involved in making this happen?
Yeah, let me start with our funding partners. And then I'll talk about kind of our organizational partners, because there's two distinct sets. The funding for this, since year one, and this was intentional, has come from four really distinct budgets or parts of campus. And so we intentionally sought out support from the Executive Vice President for Finance Administration, the Provost, the Vice President for Research, and the Student Sustainability Council, so that we had finance and administration, curriculum, research, and students all represented in the funding for these projects.
Really, like, all facets of campus came together for it.
Yep, and we got everybody on board, and after the first year, Eric Munday, who is our Executive Vice President for Finance and Administration, was at the awards banquet helping hand out the awards, and as he read the list of names and departmental affiliations for each team, I could tell he was getting pretty excited, and he loved the idea of, oh, wow, this unit is working with this unit on this problem, and it just makes sense.
That's awesome.
So, and at the end of that, he said, man, this is great. We'd love to help make it keep happening, stay in touch. And so Eric has been just a fantastic supporter, and
that's
his
awesome.
Office has provided the lion's share of the funding for this program in each of the years that it's been in existence. The EVPFA has provided 50% of the funding, and then the remainder of the funding has come in equal portions from the Student Sustainability Council, the Provost, and the Vice President for Research. And so those four units make up our funding partners.
That's awesome that they could come together and provide so much funding.
I really like that part of the narrative. I mean, I think it really speaks to high level and broad commitment to sustainability as an important component of experience here on the University of Kentucky campus. So I really like that.
Yeah, definitely. And so then that was the funding partners. And so are there other partners as well involved with putting it on?
Yes, the program is kind of coordinated by the Tracy Farmer Institute for Sustainability and the Environment, the President's Sustainability Advisory Committee, and the Office of Sustainability. So those are three kind of umbrella, high-level, sustainability-focused entities on campus. The Tracy Farmer Institute for Sustainability and the Environment, hereafter the ISE.
Yeah, it's a lot of syllables.
Yeah, so the ISE, coordinated by Dr. Rebecca McCulley. She's the executive director for it. And they have a strong focus on supporting sustainability in research in the curriculum. And they do that through faculty-led working groups. And so the Farmer Institute provides resources, funding, and logistical support to those working groups. And those working groups really tackle sustainability in a variety of different ways. So they're a key partner. The President's Sustainability Advisory Committee is made up of administrators, faculty, staff, and students, and they meet monthly to kind of keep their finger on the pulse of all the sustainability-related happenings on campus. And they have a 9-point charge relative to how to promote sustainability that they're also responsible for achieving. And then the Office of Sustainability, which is me, yours truly,
Hello.
Office of One right now, with some incredible student interns and a lot of great collaborators. I don't mind being an Office of One, and that maybe is a whole nother show, like how does an Office of One work? But I like the way it works for the most part. And so those are the three folks that are the three entities that really help coordinate it.
Okay.
And then we'll probably get into the other aspects of it later.
Okay,
Keep rambling. Sustainability. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry.
Perfect.
Sorry.
So to talk like more about the project specifically, do the projects like have to fall under a certain scope, or what are the qualifications for the applications?
Yes, important stuff.
Yes.
It has to be an interdisciplinary team that's led by a faculty or staff member. That's primary requirement.
Okay.
And so, for instance, College of Agriculture has a ton of different departments in their college. And so they could both, the team could be comprised of solely College of Agriculture, Food, and the Environment faculty. And be considered interdisciplinary as long as they were coming from different departments. We also have to have a letter of support from the budget office for that for the team lead that they'll accept the money and disperse it in accordance to the budget.
Yeah.
So those are the two requirements. You've got to meet those two requirements.
Those are the main things that you have to have.
And then we prioritize for a much longer list of things. We're prioritizing in our review for things like, well, I should also say, you got to have an interdisciplinary team that's looking at a sustainability challenge. And so how do you simultaneously advance economic prosperity, ecological integrity, and social justice, social equity?
Yeah.
And so it has to be an interdisciplinary team focused on a problem through the lens of that triple bottom line approach. But we're prioritizing for creativity, transformational potential, measurable impacts, student engagement, use of the campus as a living laboratory, the ability to leverage additional resources, and we prioritize by the number of departments on a project team. And so, if one proposal comes in and it has two people from closely related departments in College of Ag, Food, and the Environment, and another proposal comes in that has three different colleges, one research center, and an operational unit represented, that proposal is going to score better on the rubric because of the number of departments represented.
Yeah, that's cool because it really encourages collaboration between a lot of different people, which I feel like can be easy to just do a project solely on your own and like with what is familiar, but I like how this is really like focused on more collaboration across people who typically don't work together.
I love it. And you end up with teams that look like real world teams.
Yeah.
So you have architects, engineers, landscape designers, students, and kind of operational practitioner people all working together to develop a new solution for something on campus, which is
Because that's how it works in the real world.
That's how it looks in the real world.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
And so the people that apply, it's the faculty and staff that apply typically, and then students get involved with it then, or?
Yes.
Okay.
So students are encouraged to serve as team members. They just can't serve as the team lead.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
A lot of these teams have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 team members, and often 2 or 3 are students.
Okay.
And that's great. But we also see student engagement coming in the form of the faculty who are leading these projects engaging independent studies or courses or assignments in the process as well. So the almost, I don't think, we funded 20 projects, and I think all 20 of them have had really substantial student involvement in them.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's a $200,000 fund, so what is like the average amount spent on each project?
Average. So in the first year, we had $100,000. And we set a cap of $25,000 as the maximum single project award. And then following a visit with Dr. Tim Tracy, our provost, we upped that. When we were able to bump our funding up to $200,000 a year, we upped our maximum award to $50,000. Because it's his feeling that, at that funding level, faculty start to get interested because they feel like they can actually complete a meaningful project at those levels. So you got to give them enough money that they feel like they can get something done.
Definitely.
And we, for the last couple of years, since we've bumped the funding, have done somewhere between one and three projects that got that full funding amount of $50,000. And then the rest of them have come in the 10 to 25 range.
Okay, so,
if I gave you a true average, it would up to 50, and we award two or three 50s a year, depending on the selection rubric and all the stuff I just said we prioritize for. But we have received a fair number of proposals in the $10,000 to $25,000 range and have funded a good number of those as well. So, so it's a range.
Yeah, but definitely
50
a range.
Is the max, and we see a lot of folks that go for the max. And so we're excited about that.
Okay. So we're going to take a break real quick. So we will be right back. Hey, welcome back. This is Green Talks, and I'm your host, Sophie Bevan. And this week, we're joined by our faculty advisor, Shane Tedder, and he's been talking about the sustainability...
Faculty?
Staff.
I'm the staff advisor to the Student Sustainability Council, and I also have the great pleasure of serving as the campus sustainability coordinator. I don't know that I want to do some co-teaching, but I don't think I'll officially bear that faculty title. And with respect to everybody that's gone through the rigorous processes of earning that, I want to be fair to them.
Yes. So our staff advisor, Shane Tedder. So just to keep talking about the projects, what is the general timeline of these projects? Is it over the course of the year, or what do they typically look like?
Well, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about how you can get a hold of $200,000 worth of funding for sustainability-related projects on campus. And we've got an open call for proposals right now. We opened that call at the end of August. So you've got about another month. Proposals are due by October 15th, I think. 15th or 16th?
October 15th to you.
And after that, we've got about a six-week review process where we work with technical reviewers. So we send all of the proposals out to get reviewed and scored. And then we'll get back together and look at how they score. And that scoring is informative to our selection process, but not determinative.
Okay.
And so the scores as they come in, we're not necessarily going to fund the seven or the $200,000 worth of projects that score the highest.
Yeah.
We're going to start there, but we're going to look for trying to have a broad portfolio. And so we want, we want energy and transportation and social justice and other kind of a lot of the different facets of sustainability represented. We don't want to fund $200,000 worth of just renewable energy projects.
We want it to be broad-based. More than one.
And then we also want it to align with current campus priorities when the use of the campus as a living laboratory is a key component. And so we're looking for synergies with existing momentum on campus and existing resources. So we get together in a room for about 4 hours and really debate the merits of the various projects. And then on December 6th at the Campus Sustainability Forum, the winners will be publicly announced.
Okay.
And then they'll get their money starting January of 2018.
Okay.
And then they've got the full calendar year of January 2018 to complete the project.
Okay, nice.
You've got the ability to request extensions, We start with that 12-month period because we're looking for deliverables in a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, definitely.
But some of these projects, and some of them, you know from the outset, it's going to take a little bit longer than 12 months to complete, but that helps us keep them discreet and wrap them up.
Yeah, definitely. Like, just like put a deadline on it just to...
Yep.
Yeah.
Give people a general time frame.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about a 10-year study.
Yeah,
here.
That's a little long.
Yeah.
But so it's funded 20 projects, you said?
Yeah, over the first 3 years, we funded 20 projects total, and that totals about exactly $500,000.
Okay, wow.
And so with the $200,000 that we're putting up for proposals this year, we'll be at $700,000 in projects funded when we make our awards in December.
Yeah, awesome. So are there any particular projects over the years that have stood out to you?
Oh, man.
That's a hard question.
That is
I'm
a hard
sorry.
Question. A lot of them have. You know, I look at, and they're all different, you know, and I'm happy to, it's fun to talk about them. We've had various funded projects on the show. I think probably the best example of transformative and the ability to be institutionalized has been the Urban Forest Initiative.
Okay.
And the work that they've done. They've been funded in each of the years of the program and really went from an acorn of an idea, to play off the metaphor, to really a grove of highly productive outreach initiatives. And they continue to grow that. And it's been fantastic to have been able to support the success of that effort. And it is, you know, has multiple full-time employees working
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, it's become a really big organization.
Outreach to local schools and the community, and it just seems like it's going to keep growing and keep rolling. And so that's an exciting one. We had a really fascinating combination project of a interior design professor who partnered with a sustainable agriculture faculty member to revitalize a community garden that served our international graduate and family students over at Shawneetown.
Wow, that's awesome.
So the project, the garden had been there for several years. It was it was actually a Gaines Fellow project, started the garden. Started with like 40 plots, and then the international graduate student community was really, really excited about it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them, a couple factors. A lot of those students come from cultures where kitchen gardens are still really prevalent. And so they grew up growing their own food, or they also grew up with foods that you can't find at Kroger on Euclid. And so there was
definitely
a need to have the ability for them to grow some of the stuff that's unique to their culture, but they didn't have it easily accessible. And so we had doubled the size of the garden twice, and it was working, but it didn't feel like a place necessarily. There wasn't much structure or system to it. And so bringing the interior design perspective to it, and really design perspective and process, reorganized it, created some community spaces, and really transformed it in terms of how it looks and functions. And so that was another one that was really exciting to watch and be a part
awesome.
Of.
That's awesome. That's a really cool project.
So it's 2 out of 20. I apologize to the other 18 who I didn't profile just now, but those are two great examples, I think, of kind of how this funding can be used to stimulate scholarship and research. And so both of those projects have produced papers or presented at conferences. Both of them have also really positively impacted the day-to-day life on campus. And so the Urban Forest Initiative does mulch madness events where they're helping mulch trees. They do a lot of outreach just about the value of trees, and they help protect our campus urban forest. And then the Garden Project obviously provided a much needed space for members of our community to grow their own food and to meet each other. So
that's awesome. So just as kind of like a final wrap up, so all of these projects were like amazing. And so what is the overall goal that the Sustainability Challenge Grant tries to accomplish? If you could just make it, just like wrap it up into a really, just like what you're trying to accomplish.
You know, I'll go back to something I said earlier about being an office of one and not minding that. sustainability is an incredibly broad concept.
Yeah, definitely.
And it has applications that look a little bit different in a bunch of different contexts. And so it looks different for our PPD grounds maintenance than it does in an interior design studio. And it looks different there than it does for a student organization focused on hunger relief. But it touches all of those. Mm-hmm. And so you can't have an office that is in charge of all of that. The best we can hope for is to have a good system of connective tissue that helps highlight the connections between those things and then creates an efficient use of resources, campus resources, to support that wide variety of sustainability-related initiatives. And so what I hope the Challenge Grant Program can do is be a funding resource that inspires creative thinking from faculty, from all of our colleges, staff from all of our departments on how they can be connected to our efforts to promote environmental stewardship and social justice while maintaining a robust, while making it work economically. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to have that triple bottom line impact. And so the goal is really to inspire people all across campus that sustainability is something they can be a part of and that it's important to our campus. It's an institutional priority, and we're going to put some money behind that and make that money available on an annual basis. The catch is you got to collaborate outside your normal sphere of people. You got to get outside of your unit and your discipline and engage with other colleagues here. And I think through that, we've been able to see 20 great success stories, and I'm really looking forward to another round of being blown away by another round of creative proposals for how this $200,000 should be invested.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so the deadline to apply, you said, is October 15th.
You can find out more at uky.edu/sustainability. And then look on the main navigation on the left side of the page for challenge grants. And so we've got a whole section of the website dedicated to it. And there's an application instructions packet there. The application is there. The technical rubric for how the applications will be scored is all there. So it's really transparent how we go about selecting who gets funding. But if there's something missing from that, feel free to reach directly out to me, and I'm happy to answer questions about it.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks, Shane, for coming on again this week.
Great to be back.
So we're just going to have some closing announcements. The SSC is currently providing funding for departments on campus to invite guest speakers for their students. So if you're interested in this or want to know more, please email us at ukstudentsustainabilitycouncil@gmail.com. And you can like us on Facebook at University of Kentucky Student Sustainability Council or on Instagram at UKY_SSC. So I'll be back next week to talk about one of these projects that has been implemented through the Challenge Grant in 2016. So thanks for listening.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.